Amen. Thank you, Ben and Brenda, for that. Appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, if you would be moved to John chapter number 4, we are not going to be in Hebrews today. We're going to be in John. Am I on, Alex? Just want to make sure I'm on. Okay. I can say this, and I'm pretty confident that if it was not for mothers, there would be no fathers. And I was reminded right before service that if it wasn't for children, there would be neither, which is true. I let my daughter know that she wasn't the one that made me a dad. It was actually the firstborn. And then she said, well, you know, I made your life happy. I won't tell you which one it was. Some say she's the favorite, but her and her husband are smoking ribs for us today. So maybe she is after today. Sydney, good try, Paige. Huh? That's true. That is true. That's true. But she's going to give me 4, she said. Right, Sydney? All right. Anyway. So today we've got, and I will be mindful of time. This may be one of the shorter messages that I preach. I know you say, you're thinking, yeah, right. But it probably will be, because I want to be quick, and I want to observe time, and because I know there's a lot of things. You probably got dinners and things scheduled today, and it's good to spend some time with dads. And I do want to say, though, before I get into the message today, that I understand Father's Day is a neat time for some of us who still have our fathers, and we can still enjoy that time with them. Like my dad is getting up there, but he's still around, and it's good to have him. And my father-in-law is getting up there too, and we still enjoy that, and we don't take that for granted. At least we try not to. But on the other hand, I understand some of you do not have your dads, and I know that today can probably be a difficult time for some, and I understand that. I do, and for you, my heart goes out to you. It's a day of remembrance, maybe not a day to spend with your dad, but a day to remember your dad. And I just pray that you have good memories of your father to fall back on. But we're going to be in John chapter number 4. I was going through my head and going through my phone. I use my phone a lot to give me information. It's a great tool. And I'm looking for different ideas on Father's Day. And I brought some messages, and this one I've never brought for Father's Day. And then we've got also Baby Dedication Day. So both of those today make today kind of extra special. And so I was looking through and found this passage in John chapter 4 about a dad. And in this passage, there's a couple things that I want us to see. But it's a neat story about a dad and a dad's love for his child and what that love motivated him to do for his child. You know, when you think about that, a lot of times we think of moms doing, you know, moms are moms, but, you know, dads love their kids. I don't think there's any dad in this room who has a child would not hesitate to give up anything and everything if it meant saving their child. I mean, I think most parents would give their life. I know I would give my life for all of my 8 kids and my 5 grandkids. I would do that in a heartbeat. And wouldn't 8 kids? Yeah, we've got 4 and 4. They're our kids too, Stacy. Somebody poke her and wake her up, would you? That doesn't happen very often. And more on the way. And I mean that sincerely. I hope I never have to put that into action, but I would stand in the way of anything for my kids and grandkids. That's just what you do. And children are a very important part of life. And from the beginning, God made this way of us propagating in, as the Bible says, growing. We're growing. We are populating the earth, and this is how we do it. But you know, as Christians, it's not just for us to grow the population numerically, but we are called to do it also spiritually. And that is a very important part of what we do as a parent. And probably the most, other than having that child, the most important thing that we can do as a parent is to raise our children in such a way they come to know Christ and they follow Christ and their lives are productive spiritually and in the church. I think every parent who's a Christian would want that for their children. I've always said that always wanted my children to do better than me. It's always been my goal. I want my children to love the Lord more than I do, to serve the Lord more than I do. And that doesn't mean that they have to go into ministry. That's not what I mean by that. But to have a dedication for the Lord is an important thing for me, for our kids. But that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, sometimes it can, because there's a Holy Spirit that works, but usually you have to make an effort as a parent to train up a child, to raise a child, to make sure that they're in church and growing and learning about Christ and setting an example, being a model to them in life, the Christian life. There's this passage in John chapter 4 about a nobleman's son. And like many in this passage, in the New Testament, we find people coming to Jesus because they need something. They're needing some help. They're needing maybe some assistance. Maybe it's a health issue, a family issue, maybe to settle a dispute. But they're coming to the right place, and we have to acknowledge that. So I want us to see in verse number 43 of chapter 4, I'm going to read this passage. I'm going to come back. And I want to talk a little bit about and kind of point out some things. I'll give you 2 points this morning. We'll have our invitation and we'll get into our baby dedication today. It says, now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Just a little bit of information about this passage. Jesus is not real far into his ministry. He had began his ministry, and one of the first miracles, the first miracle that Jesus ever did was in Cana. He attended a marriage. They ran out of wine. Jesus turned the water into wine. That was the first miracle that Jesus did during his ministry here on earth. Shortly after that, he leaves and goes to Jerusalem. He goes to Jerusalem for a while and begins to teach, begins to preach. I'm going to assume that he's probably done some miracles there. It says this is the second miracle, but this is the second miracle in Cana, not necessarily, and we don't know this for sure, the second miracle that Jesus did. But he comes back from Jerusalem and he goes into Galilee where, you know, these were people who loved the miracles. They loved the show, if I could say it that way. They loved to watch Jesus do miracles, and they were fascinated with the miracle-working power of Christ. Unfortunately, they really weren't as interested in the saving power of Jesus as they were the miracles of Jesus. And so they were coming out in groves to watch and to see what Jesus would do next. And so Jesus comes back to Cana, where he had done this first miracle. He comes back to this area, and there's a nobleman. And this nobleman was probably employed somehow by Herod. He was a politician. He had an office in Capernaum, and he had something to do with making sure things worked smoothly for the Roman Empire. And so more than likely, we don't know this 100%, he's probably a Gentile, and he worked for the king, and he was there, and he's heard these people coming to Capernaum, probably out of Galilee, because Capernaum was a really big trade city, a lot of people coming in and out. And listen, they didn't have phones, but they did have ways of communicating. And if there was any news, it would come into these big towns and then it would filter out. Well, the news had come back to Capernaum that there was a miracle worker in Cana. And this miracle worker had went to Jerusalem, and now he's coming back into Galilee and he's going to stop at Cana. Well, there's this nobleman and he has a child. He has a son. We don't know the age of the son, but we know he's sick. We know that he's probably very possibly sick unto death. Now, I've never had that. I've never had a child that sick. My heart goes out to any parent who ever has to deal with a child, the loss of a child. I cannot imagine. And I know if God has that for me, it's for a reason. But I want to go before my kids. I just do. But he's got a son that's very sick, probably on the verge of death. And this man has tried everything. I'm sure he has money. He has influence. He could get any doctor that he wanted. He could get any person that he wanted. He could try any drug, anything that he needed was at his disposal. He had that kind of authority. He was a nobleman. He was a someone who had authority. And nothing was working. And so he's got this idea. He said, I've heard of this miracle worker that is coming back to Galilee. I want to go there and see if I can't get him to come back to Capernaum and raise my son from the dead. Now, I admire that. I admire his faith, because he's saying, I think he can help me. And so he sets off. Now, if you know anything about the geography, from Capernaum to Cana is about 20 miles. Now, we jump in our car. Some of you traveled more than that to get to church today. Now, in that day, they did not have automobiles. They had animals, and some rode them, some didn't. We don't know if he came in on a donkey. We don't know if he came in on a camel. We don't know that he came in on an alligator. We don't know what he came in on. We don't know if he came in. He may have been walking. More than likely, he was walking because of the time frame. This man had come from Capernaum, and it took him a while. Now, also about Capernaum and Cana, Capernaum was down low in elevation. Cana was up in elevation. So, and we can see this. He says, come down, come down. The reason he's saying come down is because he and Capernaum had to go up to Cana. There's about 1,700 feet elevation. So if you know anything about a long walk, this walk was going to be an up walk. It's not going to be a downhill walk. It was going to be hard. And so he leaves that a day. He may have had to spend the night somewhere because you just didn't travel at night. So he gets to Cana. And he finds that there is Jesus. And I'm sure that wouldn't have been difficult. Just look for the crowd. Look for the noise. You'll see that he's here, he's there. And he goes up to Jesus and says, I need you. I need something. And to me, that's one of the first things that I see in this passage is we have a needy dad. We have a needy dad. And you know, for us, a lot of times we don't realize just how much we need dad or need the Lord until we have a need. And when we have that need, we tend to seek him out because we get to the end of ourselves and we realize we can't do this. I remember, if you know Donna Cunningham's story, she's been here many, 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 many years, 17 years. And it all started when a granddaughter was born and there was complications. And she told the Lord, she said, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll get into church." And she came back and she found us. She needed the Lord. And what do? When we need something that we can't fix ourselves, we tend to start looking elsewhere. And so we find a needy dad. By the way, we're all needy. I don't care whether you're a dad, you're a mom, whether you're a teenager. We all need the Lord. We can't live life on our own. We need him for salvation. We need him for life. The second thing is we see that he traveled a great distance. And he was willing to pay a price. He was willing to sacrifice himself. And he would go and whatever it took, he would go through the difficult places in Galilee. And it was not a safe place to travel. There was a lot of thefts. And it was a dangerous place. And you had to be careful when you travel. He wasn't worried about that. He was looking for a miracle. He went up to Jesus and he said, "Listen, you need to come with me." And it wasn't happening. Jesus said, "Listen, you're just looking for a miracle. You're just looking for me to speak. You're looking for me to do something. You're looking for me to give you something that you could lay on your child. Or you're looking for me to give you some salve that you could put on him. You're looking for me to do something to heal your son." You see, he was looking for a miracle. He found a lot more. But he was looking for a miracle. And Jesus even confronted him and told him, he said, "Listen, all you care about is a healing. All you care about is to have your son healed." Now, most of us who are parents would say, "I understand that." Because if that was our child, we wouldn't care where it came from or how it came about. We want that miracle too. Amen. And so he's just looking for a miracle. He's looking for a quick fix to his problem. But we find there's something else that he finds. He finds a Savior. He came looking for a healer and he finds a Savior. In verse number 53, it says, "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, 'Thy son liveth.'" Understanding how this all worked, that he was there and he approached. Now, understand, he's going into a crowd, and we don't know how many were in that crowd. There wasn't one or two or 10 or 20. There had to be hundreds of people, yet maybe even 1,000 people surrounding Jesus, wanting to see, wanting to hear. And he wasn't shy about it. He goes right up to Jesus and says, "I need you. I need a miracle. I need someone to save my son." And what does Jesus do? He said, "He's healed." So he gets back and the next day, and again, it's a long journey. He didn't travel at night. It's been a day. And he comes back and said, "Listen, I know he's healed. Can you tell me when he was healed? Can you tell me what hour he was healed?" Now, we don't know whether he's talking Roman time or Jewish time. We don't know what the time zones were and how, because he's maybe a nobleman, maybe he's on Roman time, or, you know, we don't really know. But we do know that he was convinced that at the very moment Jesus spoke his healing, it took place. He knew that as soon as Jesus said, "Your son is healed," he was healed. And what did he do? Look at what it says next. And I think this is so important. "And himself believed." You see, it made a believer out of him. Not just someone who believes that Jesus can do miracles, but he believed more than that. He believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world. He believed, and it wasn't any more, wasn't any less than that, because he had already believed that Jesus could do miracles, or he wouldn't have been there. So this belief is a belief of salvation. But notice what else that it says. And his whole house. This had made such an impact. Such an impact on this man. That his whole family came to know Christ. Two things real quick I want you to see. Number one. As fathers, we should influence our children, or be an influence. Let me get this right. The influence of a father for their children. The second thing is the influence of a father on their children. For and on. Now, two little words, but they mean a lot. The first thing that we see is the influence of a father for his children. This influence is strictly on the father. If you read the first part of this, the son, the only thing the son had to do with it was that he was in need of life-saving miracle. That was it. All of this was about the dad. It was the dad that saw the need. It was the dad that heard about Jesus. It was dad that made the trek. It was dad that went up to Jesus and says, I need your help. It was the dad that begged Jesus to come back. It was the dad. It was the dad. It was the dad. The word for means on the behalf of. This dad acted on behalf of the child. But it was something that was all about the dad. It was all about the father. Now, what does that mean? Let me break that down for you real quick. The most important thing that I can do for my children is be a believer. We see that in here. He became a believer. The most important thing that I can do for my children is to know Jesus. Listen, if you're here today and you're a lost person, the most important thing that you can do is to know Christ. Far above anything is to know Jesus. And then as a Christian dad, and then it kind of filters down from there. The most important thing I can do for my kids is to grow as a Christian, to dedicate my life as a Christian, to live for Christ, to intercede for my children, to pray for my children. That is so important, and that is all about me. If you want to be the kind of dad that can impact and influence your children, we have this thing today that says we've got to love our kids more than anything else. And if we love our kids more than anything else, we'll do anything for them. Listen, let me just set this straight. The most important person that you can love is not your child. The most important person you can love is Jesus. If you put Jesus first, everything kind of filters out from there. You put your kids first, and listen, I know it sounds wonderful, and it sounds so good and so right, and to the world it does, but to us as believers, it's not about putting our kids first. We see the ramifications of that today in our culture. Children who think they're the most important thing in life because they've been treated like they're the most important thing in life. Don't do that. You say, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm trying to be biblical. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then I'll take care of your kids. In 2 Corinthians chapter, I think around chapter 8, there's this passage on giving. I'm not, relax, okay? Settle down. Blood pressure's going up. Settle down. Paul is instructing the Corinthians on giving. And I believe it's verse number 5 of chapter 8. It says this. Before they really gave of their wallet, what did they give first? Of themselves. Now, if you was to ask me to rate money in this life, it wouldn't be in my top 10. I mean, we all need it, right? But as far as importance, I got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, coming 14 reasons, 14 things I can put above money. And then I can go down, I can just all kinds of things. But you know, it's important, but it's something of value. And what Paul is saying, listen, before you give of that thing that is of value, first give yourself. Now, if that's important with money, do you think it's not important with our children? That if you're going to give your children to God, if you're going to dedicate them today to Him, if you don't first give yourself to Him, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. You know, we have sometimes I was telling Stacy today, I feel guilty. I feel there's something, and I know this is a biblical thing, dedicating your children. Hannah did it with Samuel. That's our pattern. We dedicate our child to the Lord. But listen, I don't think we truly understand. This is a vow. This is a commitment that we are making, that we are going to give our child to God. And listen, that's not going to work unless you first give yourself. You say, why is that so important, Pastor? Because you'll never know how to raise them and the decisions to make and how to lead them and guide them and counsel them if you first aren't leading the life that God's called you to. The influence for our kids, the influence on our kids, modeling. Are you modeling Christ for your children? Now, listen, I understand that I'm not trying to promote perfection in any of us. And none of us are perfect. Me, I'm the first of the, on that list that's not. But God wants us to live a life for Him. Now, this on our children is not just them, but it's us and them. You see, the first one, four, is all about us. We got to be doing right. We got to be living right. We got to know Christ. The other, the on, is both of us, my children growing to know Christ and to follow Christ is largely due to me. You say, well, what about your wife? Yeah. But yes, I meant what I said. Me. I'm the head of our home. I'm to be the leader. I'm the one that needs to be saying, well, I don't say it anymore because they got their own homes. Hey, get up. We're going to church. Amen. Hey, church camp is next week. We're signed up, right? Hey, I heard the youth department's got this going on. You're involved in that, right? Hey, you know, we got VBS coming up next week. Hey, aren't you excited? Well, good, because you're going. You see, as a parent, as a father, it's incumbent upon me,
amen,
to lead my home. Don't put that out for your wife to do, men. That's your job. And the home will function so much better if we do it God's way. So it's the influence of a father for their children. It's also the influence of a father on their child. To teach them, to model them, to show them the things of value in life. You do that. I am so convinced. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, yes. I don't know that that's all biblical. I don't find that verse anywhere. I do know moms are important, but I know dads are just as important. Dads, it's important. What we're doing today, dedicating children, could be the most important thing you do for your child. Because you know what that's going to do? You're going to raise them in such a way that they come to know Jesus as their Savior, number one. And they learn Him and grow in Him, and they find the church to be an important part of their life, and they grow in it and become productive in it and have babies that will be believers too. And that could start today for you. Father, thank you for dads. Lord, we just thank you for our kids. And Lord, I don't know where anyone is here today. I don't know if what their salvation is. But Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that they would come to know Christ. For the parents that may be here today, maybe haven't made a commitment to really be the parent that you've called them to be. Lord, if we do that early, I don't believe there'll be regrets or as many regrets. Father, have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.